You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Be it superstition or just an apparition, you suddenly appear inside my heart. Does this strange romance stand a ghost of a chance?
Welcome to From the Bleachers. I'm your host, as always, Seamus Clancy, coming to you from the wonderful Bleeding Green Nation Radio Podcast Network. Now, today, I'm recording this late Thursday morning, June 10th, sitting here in my apartment. I have a great guest on today, a guest I interviewed recently on my pop culture podcast, Capes and Tapes. You can check that out on Spotify or Apple, or follow us on Twitter at Capes Tapes Pod, talking pop culture, music, movies, comics, all those types of stuff. But I'm joined from the Philadelphia area band, Hurry, songwriter, Matt Scottolini. Matt.
What's up?
I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks.
I know.
What's up?
It's been too long.
Yeah. And we are broadcasting this live on YouTube. You can check us out on our YouTube page, Bleeding Green Nation YouTube page. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram too. I run the BGN Insta page at Bleeding Green Insta, where we'll be posting clips from all of our podcasts going forward, due to the great work of our producer Rachel coming on here. Matt, new album coming up.
Oh yeah, a couple weeks.
The 25th. Yeah, 625, new album, Fake Ideas. You're also releasing a book for this.
Yep. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's all the same amount. Whatever. Yeah. No, I'm not afraid. It's fine.
I love that energy. Awesome. I mean, just like the idea of making a book or publishing a book seems like this daunting task. But you've already made a few albums more than a few over the years with different acts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, branching off into books. It's a great idea, though. No pun intended, because the album title is Fake Ideas right there.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it's one of those things, you know, you have to just sort of like start. And then once you get rolling a little bit, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Matt, huge Eagles and Sixers fan. Am I right?
You are correct. Yeah. I grew up an Eagles fan. My dad's had season tickets since I was, you know, probably since I was born, but since I was really young, and I would go to games at the Vet with him, and, so, you know, it's in my blood.
Does he still have tickets now?
He does. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he does. I still go. I usually go to like one or two home games a year, but
yeah,
you know, they're like the type of season ticket holders that sell most of their tickets. And
yeah,
you know, they don't like to go to the night games, and
night games are rough from a lot of different perspectives.
When like winter hits and it gets cold out, they're not as down with that either. So usually stuff like that will fall into my lap. And if I'm around, I try to go.
Yeah. I remember I went to the Christmas Day game in 2017. They were playing the Raiders. Nick Foles was quarterback. I think it was his second start after Wentz went down, and, you know, went to Christmas dinner with my family. Then me, my buddy, my dad went to the game, and it was truly the coldest game I've ever been at. And, you know, one of those things where like, would I have been better off watching this on TV instead of coming here? And they narrowly lost, but they held on. But
it's tough. One of those things. You got to be the real deal to stick it out in the winter.
Yeah, the worst thing for me is like a Cowboys Sunday night football game where you're in the parking lot. Most people are drinking all day. By at night, you're a little lit up and you're tired and all of these things together. And then you're seeing Cowboys fans and they lose in disappointing fashion. And before you know it, it's midnight and they're trying to take the train home on this crowded subway thing. And it's so cold outside. So you're so bundled up. And then you get inside the subway and everyone is so layered up and you're sweating. In the
right.
Subway, it's just a disaster situation where now I've moved out of South Philly. Like my last apartment, I could walk to and from the stadium. Now I would have to take, like, I went to the Sixers game one this past Sunday.
Yeah, I was there too.
Yeah, you were there too. Yeah, we were sitting near each other. But I had to take two trains home for the first time. It's the first sporting event I've gone to since I've been at this new apartment. And I was just like, oh man, I could not imagine doing this after an Eagles loss in like November in the rain or early December. And, you know, already freaking out, being super paranoid, neurotic, crazy person that I am, already worried about that situation.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to deal with like all the other upset fans and the various states that they may be in, you know?
Yeah, you're just like adding dynamite on top of dynamite on top of dynamite, where there's just all of these raucous people ready to erupt for either good or bad, depending on what the result is. Either way, it could be stupendously insane.
Totally, yeah.
So did you go to a lot of games growing up, or still even back then in the vet days?
Yeah.
I mean, the selling and reselling ticket market, all that stuff has changed over the years.
That's a newer thing, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Because now I've never done it, but I'm pretty sure like the team like makes it easy for people to just sell.
Yeah. Yeah. I have season tickets, so just for reference.
Yeah. Like, no, we used to go, it's hard to remember how frequently we went, but I have a lot of memories going to games as a kid. And, you know, back in the days where like you would park in the, like the fruit warehouse parking lots and like,
you,
like parking there, walking down. And we were in the 700 level, like directly behind one of the end zones. So I definitely grew up getting the like classic 700 level experience, and a lot of things my dad had to like explain to me that I was seeing.
Earmuffs, put his hand over your eyes, all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So
do you have a favorite game you saw as a kid at the vet days, or just a memory, even if something wild happened up there? Because I'm sure you saw, you know, stuff people can't even dream of. Like, my dad never took me. We've only had season tickets for about a decade. I'm 27, so I didn't have them until my freshman year of college. But my dad had gone to games at the vet, and even as crazy and rabid as an Eagles fan that he is, and passed on to me, and people know how, you know, wild I can kind of get about this team, even he sometimes thought the 700 level stuff was just a little over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because like the era that I was going in was like the very sad Ray Rhodes era most of the time.
You're like post Buddy, pre Andy.
Yeah, so I don't have a lot of like great memories of games, you know, because back then it was like just exciting if they won. And but, you know, I think like my favorite memories are probably Dallas games, just because of how, you know, I mean, it's always insane and it's still insane now, but I feel like, not to be one of those people that's like, oh, back then it was different. But I do think in the vet, it was like,
oh my God, yeah. It's not even close. It's a different world with social media, security, all of those type of things. That didn't like exist then. Fights are like the norm, all of this crazy stuff. I remember talking to people who've had season tickets for years. They'd be able to just, you know, if you're walking into your, you know, you're walking in, they usher you, give them their ticket, give them a $15 bill, you're bringing a 30 pack in the game, stuff like that.
Yeah,
which is like unfathomable now. But
I think my main memories are like Dallas games and just like how insane it was. And yeah, just all the behavior you'd see, you know, as a kid, I almost feel like that stuff sticks with you more than specific games do. You know, I feel like getting older is when, you know, I started to appreciate games a bit more for, you know, things that happen or like,
yes,
performances by players or things like that.
Yeah, you have the, it's not like you're watching when you're going at the vet the teams that made, you know, the NFC championship game a few years in a row or won the division a bunch, or before this past season made the playoffs 3 years in a row,
Bobby
won the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's like me having Sixers season tickets during the process years. Like, oh, I watched Jakar Sampson back in my day. Now you guys have season tickets now. I think you're all fancy watching you know, Tyrese Maxey and Embiid out there on the court together.
Totally. Yeah. Although the process, I think, was more fun.
Different vibe, obviously. Different vibe.
At least it was intentional. You know, like the Ray Rhodes Eagles, it was like
accidental incompetence.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing? Like, why is this happening?
Were you vibed with the Sixers? You went Sunday. How was that atmosphere for you?
I mean,
it sucked, right? I was so excited and it kind of sucked.
Well,
man, I paid money for the ticket.
Started amazing, right? Like, like the whole like
Triple H thing. Yeah, yeah.
People were like going crazy. But then, you know, as soon as it started falling apart in the first quarter, it was worrying. But, you know, I am also, as a sports fan, I think I'm a rare Philly sports fan who's like an optimist. So I was the guy who the entire Sixers game, I was like, I think they could come back. Like I wasn't getting too down. I was getting frustrated for sure. And, you know, a lot of the stuff happening was not good, but I'm not saying I predicted the comeback, but it's just my nature. It's like, I usually try to never be the guy who says like the game is over in the first half, you know,
Nostradamus.
I'm wrong a lot of the time, but it's just the way I am.
From the first quarter, I'm one of those people that if things start to turn poorly, whether I'm at the game or like, I'll stop drinking. Like, I don't need to get any more crazy or anything like that. I'll like real calm. And then when they were making that comeback, it was hard for me to even get excited. One of those things where like, I didn't leave, but I was like itching just to get home for that anxiety release. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, they're going to lose and I have to get on the subway and I have to do this. And I'm going to home and I'll be hot and sweaty and tired. All these different things. I'm just like, all the energy bottled up. But
I was calm until the comeback. And then I was like, you know, me and my friend I was with, we were both like shaking. Like, it was so exciting when they were coming back.
I wasn't freaking out, screaming or anything. I was kind of a little stoic in a way or maybe stoic is a more positive connotation. Maybe numb was a better, more totally. Kind of negative one to say.
You know, I think I was there for a little while. It's hard not to when like it feels like it's kind of falling apart. But I overall, like, even though they lost that game, I feel like it was kind of a fun game to be at just because of the comeback. Like, the last like minute of that game was some of the most exciting basketball I've seen in a long time, you know?
Yeah. So, and it's a shame they wasted the introduction and bell ringing. I had season tickets when they started doing the bell ring. I don't have them anymore, but that was just the coolest thing ever. Doing a little brag. I had known ahead of time that Triple H was going to be ringing the bell. And it was because I knew that. And you've seen all these videos on Twitter from guys like Jeff McDevitt or even Triple H talking and Embiid himself doing these crazily WWE or back in the day WWF videos and, you know, boom, boom. Like, I'm not even a wrestling guy, but I can appreciate it.
Totally.
And once I knew Triple H was going to be the guy, I was like, there's no, and they didn't announce Embiid was playing until about an hour before the game. But right. As soon as I knew Triple H was playing, I was like, there's no way they're having him come out there doing all this the way Embiid's been carrying himself, not for him to play. And not only did he play, he went out there and rang the bell too with those customized t-shirts. I'm surprised the team hasn't started selling them yet. I feel like that's a gold mine waiting for them.
That is crazy. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know why they're not for sale. I thought
could be a rights thing with wrestling, where it was easier just to do these one-off things rather than some shared licensing stuff.
Yeah, I saw some like bootlegs online, but I was expecting to instantly be in the Sixers store or something.
Yeah, there's a bootleg on my buddy Jim Adair makes a Sixers fan store. They've had a lot of great shirts over the years. I bought a bunch. It's called Step Over Tees. So if you just Google Step Over Tees, T-Public or whatever, they'll come up. There's a ton of cool shirts on there. I'm not getting a commission for this. They're not a subscriber the way, or you know, a sponsor the way I plug a lot of other stuff on here sometimes. But just my buddy does a cool thing designing these shirts, and it all goes to charity. He doesn't actually take any money from it anymore. So, you know, supporting a good cause and also getting some six T-shirts. Like, I had a Sam Hinkie crew neck sweatshirt from there. I have a Daryl Morey shirt because he's the president of basketball operations. So it's like the acronym is POBO. So it's written like the MOBO font for modern baseball. And the way they had that dog logo, it's like Daryl Morey with the sunglasses, the way that dog has sunglasses on there.
Wow.
So yeah, my friend's really into like the scene. I'm sure he listens to your stuff. So they have a lot of kind of stuff that's adjacent to, you know, our interest at the same time there.
That's cool. I'll check it out. You have to send me the link after this.
I'll send you the link. Yeah. I don't know a lot of wrestling terms. I didn't watch it growing up, but like DX, I guess that's what it is. Whatever the wrestling thing is. So it's like the t-shirt is the 76 in that green kind of slimy type font on there,
right.
Or graffiti type font. I don't know exactly what it is.
Sick.
Predictions for the series? I'm still Sixers in five. I'm sorry if this is a lot of Sixers talk. We're kind of in a dull moment with the Eagles. They waived Jamie Newman yesterday, the quarterback that did UDFA. I really liked him going into the draft. But, you know, there's something to really talk about to this offseason, getting some guests in here. And again, I'm sure a lot of Eagles fans out there are Sixers fans. We will talk some Eagles stuff. We have talked some Eagles stuff. But, you know, there's nothing bigger in Philly sports right now than Sixers, and I no longer have a Sixers podcast. So yeah, here we are.
I think even if you don't normally care about the Sixers, I feel like playoff basketball is like really exciting. But
we have fans from all over, though. That's the thing. Like our reach is not to, you know, pat myself on the back, but we have listeners from, you know, I'm not sure that our London listeners who are, I don't know exactly how they became Eagles fans, really care about the Sixers. But if they're looking for an NBA team, just go all in on Philly. If you're a fan that's not from Philadelphia and you're just an Eagles fan, you're looking for an NBA team, hop on the Sixers. There's no bandwagon. I'm not about policing like Sixers fan. If you're a casual fan or you never really watched basketball and you want to see them in this run, it's for the city. It's all those things. The way I compare it is, you know, some people are like, oh, if you didn't watch the process years, you can't watch this. I was like, that's so nonsensical. That's like telling the comparison I do is that's like telling your grandmom she's not allowed to watch the Super Bowl when the Eagles were in it because she doesn't watch the preseason games or something.
Yeah,
like that. Totally. It's a communal thing. The Eagles are a communal thing. That's the whole point of my podcast. That's, you know, from the bleachers, this fan perspective, getting other fans on here, talking to people, getting this crazy slant. So I'm all about the community.
Totally. Yeah. I think the whole like bandwagon thing, I don't care. If you like it.
It only matters if you're a Cowboys fan outside of Texas. That's the only thing I care about.
Yeah, that. Right.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been thinking Sixers win in six games, but I know I already called myself an optimist, but I think I'm like,
you're hedging now.
Well, I just feel like one, I'm like counting on the possibility that Embiid like misses a game.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, maybe would be fine, but I don't know. Or I'm also just like thinking there could be a night where like someone besides Embiid doesn't show up and they just like can't make it happen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and what is it? This past game, Tobias had an insane first quarter, and then it looked like he got a little banged up and wasn't the same the rest of the game. I think he finished with 22 points. So still a great performance, and he carried them early. But it's a situation where, you know, Tobias doesn't have that big first quarter, and Ben only scores, you know, 4 points. Only he took three shots. If that situation happens where he's only taking 3, 4, 5 shots, and Embiid is, you know, a little banged up, he's settling for those mid-range shots, he's not getting to the rim, he's not, right. he's taking those threes because he's a little winded and stuff like that. That's a situation where, again, you had the Shake Milton game in game right. two. This is the point in the playoffs where those championship teams, every win has to be the X player game, the blank player game. You're always going to need to have some type of role player step up the further and further you get into the postseason. Maybe it's a situation where, you know, tomorrow night, again, we're recording this late Thursday morning. Friday night, game three in Atlanta. Furkan Korkmaz comes in the second quarter, bangs three threes, comes into the second half, hits one or two more. And hey, it's the Furkan Korkmaz game. The Sixers won by nine.
Yeah, I mean, I think like my assessment is that more than one person from the bench needs to have a good game, basically. Because
I'm taking like a below average bench performance I'm taking right now, given how much they've been struggling recently.
Yeah, because I think the reason the games have been close is just because anytime the bench goes out, barring the 8 minutes or whatever Shake Milton was in the other night, like they go out there and the Hawks just go on a run. So like, I think I'm hoping that like yesterday and today, maybe that's what some of the team is focusing on, is like plugging the holes in the bench and defensively especially, but also just like if one of those guys can step up and score a little bit more, I think that also takes some of the pressure off the starters, you know?
Totally. Yeah. George Hill, who I think is a great vet, has had a lot of success in his career. He's been pretty underwhelming. He was the big trade on acquisition. I know a lot of people wanted him to trade for earlier in the season, James Harden. I was a proponent of that. People wanted to trade for Kyle Lowry at the deadline. They get George Hill, but they part with three second round picks. That would have been right. The worst trade of all time. Three second round picks. They give up Tony Bradley, who is a competent center, maybe would even be a little bit more playable than Dwight Howard is right now. And you're just really not getting a lot of him. Tyrese Maxey's been outperforming him at times during the Washington series and out during the Atlanta series, just based off game two alone. Shake Milton's outperformed him. So they're in a situation where they have three combo guards off the bench who could lead the offense, but it's kind of trial and error to figure out which one is going to have the hot hand that night. Again, early in the Wizards series, it was Maxey. In game one against Atlanta, they threw Hill out there. He was a minus 17 with 0 points or something like that. That's disastrous for a vet. That's their quote-unquote big acquisition, their big bench-filling guy that they got at the deadline. But then Shake Milton comes in, scores 14 points in 14 minutes, and saves the day on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think George Hill has, like, kind of come back to his full form yet. And
he's been bad. He was banged up. It took some time for him to actually get in a uniform after the Sixers acquired him.
But, yeah, I mean, I think he has some, like, sneaky games sometimes where you don't kind of realize how much he contributed until you kind of look at everything after. But, yeah, by and large, I think, like, the idealized version of George Hill hasn't really happened yet.
Tomorrow night could be the George Hill game.
Yeah, maybe. That's the thing is, like, I don't want it to be anyone's game. I just want like
you just want it to be like the Sixers win a solid 17. Everyone plays well. The starters rest in the fourth quarter.
Totally. And
that's what the Washington series was, right?
Yeah. Well, the bench was scoring in the Washington series. Like, I think for some reason the Hawks defense, the bench just like hasn't figured it out yet. And the bench hasn't figured out how to defend the Hawks yet because they're going on like crazy 20-30 point runs against the bench, you know.
I think they're just so deep on their bench. Their bench is much better than ours, and they have shooting up and down the roster. So they're a high variance team where in game two they don't shoot so well. Game one, it felt like they shot 42% from three in game one. Hey, we have a guest on here. If you're watching on YouTube, Matt's cat is in the
cat attack. Yeah.
Raise the Cat. Do you remember Raise the Cat?
No, what's Raise the Cat?
So during like in like 2017 or whatever, my buddy Gip on Twitter at Gipper Grove started this thing where like if the Sixers won, he just raised his cat up and took a picture of it like Lion King style, and it became a big thing where like people all over Twitter were doing. Ben Simmons did it. They made like t-shirts for it that went to local animal shelters and all this type of stuff. It was awesome.
Whoa. All right. Yeah, I'll do that.
If you got to do Raise the Cat tomorrow night, I'll bring it. Send it to me and I'll retweet it. I don't have a cat. I've never had a cat. Nothing against cats, but just but sure. I know a couple of my buddies do have cats and have done it even in the playoffs. So you got to remember that. Raise the Cat. Yeah.
All right. We're in. I'm in. We're going to raise the cat.
Yeah. The thing is, his cat was like severely overweight, which respective had dogs that were severely overweight. So it was like kind of a joking thing. Like, I'm going to lift this gigantic cat up. And then he finally did. It was hilarious and kind of took off. Like the team itself was recognizing it. This is the 2017 season where it was Embiid's, the first year Embiid played Sarge his rookie year, where they were, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were flashing and it looked like they were about to go on a run as a team in the years going forward. And they have since then.
Totally. Yeah. That was sort of like a turning point year.
yeah, when B was out there, he played, you know, what, 31 games, but every time he was on there, he looked outstanding.
Yeah.
What are your predictions for the Sixers overall? I know you said Sixers and six against the Hawks.
Yeah. I don't know.
99% sure they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets and the Eastern Conference. They're a juggernaut. I'm scared. I don't know about that one. Like, I try to be an optimistic going into a series where, you know, I said they were going to sweep the Wizards. I said they're winning in five against the Hawks. I still believe they're winning in five against the Hawks. But the Nets, man, once they go to that bench, the bench lineup is they take Kyrie and Durant out and let Harden cook. You know, James Harden led offense against the Sixers' second unit sounds like he's going to go nuclear.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to the whole super team thing, you know.
It helps to have three of the best scorers of all time on the same team.
They're good. They're a good team. I don't know what's going to happen because the Sixers didn't really face full strength Nets this
year.
They
have not.
So I don't know what it's going to. I mean, I want them to beat the Nets, and I know I said I'm an optimist, but I just don't know what it would be like, you know.
I don't know what the formula looks like. Danny Green shoots, you know, 52% from three, Thibault locks. I mean, they have the best perimeter defense to kind of combat them, but they only have, you know, two of those guys in Thibault and Simmons, and you can't have Thibault out there for too long because he's an offensive liability. But if you have those guys guarding two people, that means, you know, one of Durant, Kyrie, or Harden is out there going to cook Danny Green or George Hill or whoever's out there, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I kind of think it's going to come down to, like, solid defense, but, like, really good offense. And
you're going to have to outgun them. You know what I mean? It's like the way where the Eagles played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Patriots had the best quarterback of all time. They didn't win that game by being conservative. They didn't win by trying to get them to play their game. They're like, we need to score more points than the best player of all time. And they did that. And that's a situation now where the Sixers, obviously, they're going to need to make some stops, but they're going to need the best offensive performance in, you know, 38 years in this franchise to topple the Nets.
Yeah, and I think they're going to need, like, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris to be – Ben Simmons especially to be, like, more aggressive than normal and maybe try to get some of those guys on the Nets into, like, a little bit of foul trouble. Because, you know, Embiid can do that, but somebody's got to put a little heat on the other guys.
Absolutely. So what's your prediction? Sixers making the finals or not?
I think they can. I don't know. I mean,
I say no, but obviously I want it more than anything in the world.
Yeah, I think it's possible, you know, and especially if Embiid stays all right. But there's so much, like, up in the air, and you never know what's going to happen. Like in the next week, you know, one of those superstars on the Nets could get injured, or, like, you know, it's just like, who knows what's going to happen. So I try not to overthink it. I just want them to, like, get through this series and then I can
start worrying
about what's going to happen after that.
All right.
But, you know, I think they should beat the Hawks. Like, maybe it won't be as easy as we want it to be, but I think they should.
Any closing thoughts? Anything you need to plug? We're at the 26-minute mark. Going to wrap it up here.
No.
The album, any projects, any last Sixers or Eagles fire takes you need to send out to the world?
I do think the Eagles are going to be better than everyone thinks they're going to be.
I think they win the division. It's a terrible division, so it's not saying a lot, but I'm not saying they win the Super Bowl.
The Cowboys, I think, will give them the most trouble, but I definitely think it's possible. I think they're going to be better than people are predicting.
Same. All right. We'll have to have you on during the season once they're 4-0 and have taken down the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, and they're on their way to a magical playoff run.
The undefeated season. It's going to
happen. The undefeated season. Yes. Jalen Hurts. What is it? Well, it's a 17-game season now, so he's going 20-0 as a starter. You heard it here first. But Matt, follow you on Twitter at HurryBand. We'll be sure to link to the pre-order for the new album on Twitter once this podcast comes up here. And to finally plug, be sure we're doing these videos on YouTube, so be sure to check us out on YouTube, the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube page. Follow us on Twitter at Bleeding Green and Instagram at Bleeding Green Insta to catch all of our content out there. But that's it for me. Matt, thank you for coming on, and keep bleeding green.
Thanks, man.
EPGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.